choix. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh, we're living in a dark night.
Amen. I already know, nigga. I know the fuck going on. I'm still in shit.
Tired of coming through, bitch.
Hello, hello, hello. We are back. This is Word on the Street on CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting live from the unceded territory of the Musqueam people. Gone for a couple weeks. Got a couple guests today. Hello. Who are you?
What's up? I'm Arshan. I run Kids Takeover.
And I'm Alex. I run Simple.official and Vintage Simple as well.
So, both of you, what do you do just a little more? Why are you here today? Talk a bit more. Like, don't feel afraid to promote yourself. What kind of art do you make?
Alex, you can go.
I make clothes, I guess, is my big thing. Like, technical designer wear is kind of the idea. I'm just trying to make clothes that not only look good and feel good, but, like, can actually, you can wear them around. You don't got to wear a hoodie in the rain and be worried about being all wet and whatnot. You can just wear it freely, because I think that's an issue that we got going on a lot right now.
The city we live in, yes.
Yeah.
Stop the madness.
Yeah, exactly. And then I just flip designer clothes. I find clothes are cheap and make them more expensive and sell them.
Yeah, fire. Yeah, I'm.
You're very honest.
My name's Arshan. I'm 19, and I run Kids Takeover, which is pretty much like a hip hop media outlet. It's run through YouTube and Instagram right now, and it's pretty much just where I interview artists who come to Vancouver. Otherwise, I have this FaceTime series where I can interview artists from far away, producers, managers, and whatnot. And really just trying to give like a young person's perspective on hip hop that I feel like there isn't really right now.
Word. So speaking of hip hop, let's just jump into that. And let's talk a bit about Vancouver. I want to hear from both of you. You know, you've both been around the Vancouver scene in different ways as we have. And I just wanted to hear, do you think, first of all, do you think there is a scene in Vancouver for hip hop and rap? And what do you think about the scene here?
Oh, that's funny because we were just talking about that like 30 seconds ago. I'd say that there is definitely a scene in Vancouver, but I don't think it's one. I don't know. I don't want to talk too much smack. I don't think it's one that
just
could...
Just say how you feel, man.
I don't think that there's one that could blow up. Like, a lot of these artists, if you talk with them, they're like, oh, well, this guy, like, one guy's got to blow up and then we'll all make it. I don't think that's the situation. Like, the work ethic, it just isn't there from a lot of the artists, unfortunately. Like, if everybody in the city was working mad hard, putting out insane stuff and, like, putting out music that could be worldwide, then it'd be something else. But, like, Arshan and I are just saying, like, a lot of it just sounds like bites almost. Like, you can listen to a lot of the music from these van scene people, and it sounds like you could listen to a song and be like, oh, that sounds like this person. That sounds like Thug. That sounds like Uzi. Mm-hmm. Like, you can pin a name to it, and, like, that's not music that's going to go far. You know what I mean? Like, that person needs to have something that you can't be like, oh, this sounds like, because it's got to sound like them.
Yeah, and I would add on that, that's one thing, is, like, you got to have a distinguishable sound, right? And then on top of that, it's, like, some people are great artists, but then they don't have, like, a great team behind them, or vice versa. Some people are, you know, they have great managers behind them, but then they have someone who's, like, lazy and not willing to work, right? So you kind of have to, like, find, the perfect group, and I feel like Manila Gray has found the perfect group. They have the dope producer, they have a dope manager, the artists are dope, the art is dope, like, you know, cover art and stuff, so... I definitely think there's a scene here, but you guys just gotta, you know, distinguish your own sound, I guess.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And Manila Gray definitely has, like, I mean, they made it, basically.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, it's unarguable that they've made it, and they got a good team behind them, and the team behind them, like, I mean, you're wearing their pants right now.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, he's got his front runners on right now.
Who else do you think, aside from Manila Gray, is on their way to making it? Do you think there's anyone that's definitely, people are gonna know, outside Vancouver, I mean, because... I agree. We don't really have a hip hop scene. Like, it is there, but it's not like LA. Obviously, it's not like New York. You can't expect that.
And it's a lot more about the connects here too. Like, the people that have the connections go and play the Lyrical Lemonade Show. But, like, I could tell you exactly the people that.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I can tell you every step of the way how they got there.
I know what I mean? Yeah.
I think Angst definitely has a chance. Like, I listen. Angst is the only artist that I'll, like, sit in the car and just, like, play. Like, I'll play a whole album by him front to back. I'll be out and about listening to his music front to back, like, no problems. And his sound is unique. I mean, it rides kind of like the whole...
Juice World,
like, what's his name? Lil Peep, like, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Tracy, like, it rides that wave, but I think it is... different, like, really different. So yeah, I definitely mess with his music a lot. I think he's underrated. He had a tweet recently that was like, am I underrated or just, like, actually not good?
Yeah. I feel like a lot of artists like criticize themselves like that.
Yeah, well, because you have to at a certain point, because you're working mad hard, like, you're putting the shifts in and stuff to work hard, so obviously you're gonna feel like, man, what else can I do?
I mean, I think, like, creatives in general feel that way. It's like, if, like, even myself, I sometimes things like, yo, like, what do I need to get over that hump, right? But it's just like, I uploaded the Shoreline Mafia interview, and, like, I didn't expect that to put me over the hump, but it got me, like, a ton of subscribers and whatnot. So it's like, you just got to consistently keep putting out, like, those good videos, and and, you know, like, if you're dope, you're going to do good.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. But also, you asked, like, which artist. I feel like I don't want to just, like, name homies and stuff, but, like, there's this guy named Sharuk. I don't know if you heard about him. He's brown, and he makes, like, really dope music. I would check out Sharuk for sure.
Also, we just played a Hunter Carter track at the start. Definitely one of my favorites. Also, again, not just trying to be biased with friends, but I do really enjoy his music.
No, he's crazy.
That was Fred Perry Polo's. He's got, I think a tape coming out this year. Eventually, I hope. I've heard some of his unreleased work. I'm really excited to share that in the future on the air. Love Honda Carter. Been on the show a few times. So aside from, you know, we're talking about Vancouver. It's not super established. But what are some positives you've seen about the scene itself, besides from just, this quote-unquote making it thing. Yeah. What are some positives you've seen at shows, at venues? What are some things that you've enjoyed about the scene here that's definitely, this is Vancouver, this isn't LA or New York.
Yeah.
What do you like about it?
Well, like, I think the biggest thing is, like, one word, cell phone lottery. Like, those guys just, like, came in, got investment, and then they used it to be able to put on the city, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they're producing a lot of rap shows. They're bringing a lot more rap music to Vancouver, hip-hop music, whatever you want to call it. And, like, I think that's big, is having somebody that's, like, for the scene to exist here, you got to bring the artists that people are wanting to listen to.
Mm.
And if nobody's in touch with who those people are or isn't bringing them or isn't putting the legwork in to get them here, then it's never going to happen. I think the big thing about Van is, like, all the artists that do exist in that space are homies. Mm. Like, they'll all chill. You know what I mean? Like, okay. AC, Angst, all those dudes, like, they'll all chill. And that's cool to see, I guess, because I don't know if it's like that in other cities. But, yeah, that's kind of my takeaway from it. That's probably what I would say is the best thing is, like, there is, because the scene is so small, there is definitely, like, a very community feeling about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the only thing I would add to what Alex says is, like, in the past year or so, yeah, everyone has, like, collaborated more, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, like, 3 years ago, I wouldn't hear of anyone collaborating, but now it's, like, you got Illy and AC and, like, all these guys, you know, hopping on a track with each other, right? So, for sure, I think collaboration is something that's, like, a big positive.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was just going to say, when I go to these shows, whether it's just a tiny show like Avant Garden or maybe 333 or something like that, or even if you see some Vancouver-based rappers that faded like BB No Money, something along the lines of that, I like how everyone is quite agreeable and they're just trying to grow together. It's like a lot of people you don't see compared to other cities, I think. You don't see people trying to fight each other, beef with each other. I think everyone just wants hip-hop to grow in Canada and in Vancouver especially, because you see a lot of not only hip-hop artists, but a lot of artists leaving Vancouver because yeah. they know there isn't a scene. Like, we played a lot of Winona Forever or Shui or bands like that in the past, but they're all leaving to Montreal or Toronto because they can't do anything here. And it sucks because, you know, we all live here and we're all big fans of the music and we want to see it get better and we want there to be something worthwhile here.
I was just going to say, it's, like, kind of disheartening to see so many, like, artists that are from Vancouver, like, not necessarily want to identify that they're from Vancouver. Like, Grimes is from Vancouver, and I had no idea until, like, a few months ago, just because she never says she's from Vancouver.
Yeah.
I think Mac DeMarco is from Vancouver, but no one really knows that. Like,
he's not from Montreal.
Like,
Montreal,
maybe.
But he might be originally from Vancouver.
I think he grew up here or something.
Crazy.
But, like, he never, like, mentions that.
But he wouldn't claim it,
yeah. Like, it's kind of really disheartening.
And that's,
like,
the same with Killy. I was actually going to say the same.
Killy?
Yeah. Is that, Killy's from Victoria.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, like, never claims it, never talks about it, nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, as far as anybody knows, he's from Toronto. Like, how are you supposed to have a scene that blows up if nobody's talking about it, nobody's claiming it, nobody, like, it doesn't put the city on. It just... I don't know. It just continues to put them in the dark.
Yeah.
I think it would be kind of cool, though, to identify yourself from Vancouver, just because, like, if you're from Toronto or, like, New York, you know, sure, you have more of an infrastructure there, but there's so many other artists there. So I feel like if you do something memorable and your music is dope and then you come out of a place where there's no other artists, like, that's, like, hats off to you. That's better than, you know, coming out of Toronto. So that's just what I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah, because, I mean, when there are these artists, and I think it is, like, our generation right now, we're definitely going to see some names start coming up more that other people are going to know about. Like you said, Manila Gray.
BB No Money. Blowing up because of TikTok.
Yeah. Like, I think it's going to be really cool because then we can start to say, yeah, he's from here. Like, this is my city and he's representing where I'm from.
BB No Money already made it, though, in China.
Oh, yeah, like
he's
a while
crazy
ago.
He made it. He just, I don't know why people from here don't listen to him, but dude, like, he was on the Billboard Hot 100. Like,
yeah, it's insane. Because
he, like, advertised all his music on, like, Chinese social media apps at first.
He's just really
and then
smart,
he just blew up, and then he was like, I'm going to tour in Asia.
Yeah.
He's really funny,
he's
too.
A genius,
oh, he's so
he's
funny.
Very funny.
Yeah, power to him.
Yeah. So, moving on, this is more focused on Kids Takeover, but we wanted to talk a bit about what makes a good interview and a good interviewer. So, I mean, Arshan, you're more experienced with this than anyone else here so far. But when you're thinking about this, what is sort of your thought process as a fellow interviewer? What's going to make people bite on your content as opposed to any other interviewer because there's so many?
It's funny because I literally am, like, releasing a video tomorrow. I'm, like, talking about this. But I think being a good interviewer, you know, first thing, you just got to, like, be able to talk to people, like, casually without, you know, being nervous and whatnot. But at the same time, I just feel like once you're already a good interviewer, you need to, like, differentiate yourself, you know? So I'm making a video tomorrow, and it's about, like, who I think are the top three interviewers, right? I picked Nardwar, who just left the building today, Adam22, and then I picked Joe Budden. And the reason I picked them is because, like, you know, they all have something that, like, is, like, different about them. Joe Budden is ruthless. You know, he has, like, insider info. He was actually an artist, right? So I feel like... He was an artist. He wasn't that successful, but, like, he was an artist, right?
Yeah, he actually, he worked with Shady Records, like Eminem's record label a lot, way back, early 2000s.
I feel like a lot of people can be interviewers, but at the end of the day, just, like, have something different about you. I thought about, like, yo, what's going to be my differentiator? And then I figured out, I'm like, yo, there's, like, nobody, like, under 22, like, doing these interviews, you know what I'm saying? So you just got to have something different about you is what I think.
I think Sean Evans from Hot Ones said something like that. Like, he was like, I wanted to interview all the time, but I had no idea what would make me stand out. So I was like, I'm going to feed people, like, spicy wings.
Chicken wings,
because it's funny. Yeah. And also, like, it kind of catches them off guard, makes them vulnerable a little bit. Because it's just focused on, like, it's so spicy. Yeah. Like, I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah, for sure. It creates a little more organic environment.
Dude, Complex has, like, 50 interview shows, but no one is watching all of them. They're going to watch Hot Ones, and they're probably going to watch... sneaker shopping. Cause those are like the two ones that stand out the most, right?
Yeah,
very true.
That's just what I think.
I think someone that isn't recognized enough for his interviewing skills as much as he is for other things is Anthony Bourdain, because I don't know if you've seen Parts Unknown or anything like that. Rest in peace. Like, really tragic. Unfortunately, committed suicide in the past couple of years. Is what he would do is, you know, he traveled all around the world for Parts Unknown. Every episode was in a different country or city or somewhere. And he would just sit down with someone from that place and talk to them about everything. And he was so well informed about what the issues were about that place, but what the good things were about that place. And he'd be very good at highlighting culturally what is important, you know. And he was very good at showing the other side, mostly the side that people in the West don't really show. And by sitting down and eating food, which we all have to do every day, and eating the food of that culture, he made it, like you said, very organic, kind of like Sean Evans. It's just very natural. It doesn't really feel like an interview. It's just a conversation with someone at that point, and you're just talking. Like, you and I were talking about this before the show, you know, people are so afraid now just to talk. I think you could play that into interviewing. You know, when we write these questions and we want to ask people things, we're scared to ask certain questions because we know if we mess up and if we say the wrong thing or we cross a line, then we're screwed over, right?
Yeah, you're on the line. Your career's on the line.
Yeah, and because of that fear, we have to hold back a lot of the time. And it sucks because we can't always talk about things that we want to talk about, some of the things that are more important than what we can talk about.
Yeah, I think it's a huge problem with just society as a whole right now, Twitter as a whole. Like, I think the biggest thing is social media with that. Like, the fact that somebody can say something on social media or people can complain enough on social media about somebody's views, and then Twitter is all of a sudden the morale police. And it's like, nobody puts you in that position. Your job isn't to do that.
Yeah.
Like, YouTube does it all the time. Like, Instagram does it all the time. Like, yes, if you're violating specific rules or you're harming people or whatever, then sure. But, like, we were talking about Alex Jones before, some crazy dude. And, like, Alex Jones is insane, but, like, he got banned from Twitter, and there's literal, like, there's, like, Taliban pages on Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, preaching, like, showing videos and stuff on Twitter that aren't banned. And it's like, who's running this? Like, what's their authority to be able to do that kind of stuff? And also, why are they letting the Taliban run around free on Twitter?
Twitter's just like a mess.
Yeah, big time.
Anyway, time back to music a bit more. didn't expect to hear that today. I think what makes some of these interviewers that we love so interesting is they aren't afraid. Like Nardwar, whenever I talk to him or been around him, he's not scared to ask anything because you all know, I'm sure, there's kind of a few reactions. It's always the same kind of reactions. It's either, how do you know that? I'm scared of you. Or it's like, leave me alone.
Or they run away like little
Zuber. Run away. Because you're so freaked out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because he's not afraid. He's just curious. And I think a lot more people, not just interviewers, just when we're having conversation about music or whatever else, should be like him. It's like, let's just talk about it and put it out in the air instead of being scared to ask. I really admire that about him because I know there's some interviews in particular very, very uncomfortable to watch. Mm-hmm. Like something like Kid Cudi or with Jack White and his sister, it's just, you can't believe what he's asking them, but he just goes for it. Yeah. And it doesn't get any more, you know, natural than that, organic than that.
Yeah. Nardwual, I'll give him a lot of credit because usually you have to be established or have some sort of like huge media outlet behind you in order to ask these crazy questions, right? Like Charlamagne the God is on the Breakfast Club and he can, you know, go at these guests. But, you know, imagine someone like me, like I'm just starting off. If I were to like, you know, really give it to my guests and like challenge them so much starting off, they'd be like, yo, who are you? Why are you saying this to me? You have you have no like authority to say this stuff, right? But cool thing about Nardwual is he did do that. Like his first couple interviews, you know, like the ones with Jay-Z or whatnot, like, yo, he was just asking him like the most uncomfortable shit, right?
So yeah.
Can I swear, by the way?
Yeah, try not to, but you know, it's okay. I mean, he does. He does, so.
Yeah, so yeah, I definitely respect Nardwual. He paved a lane that's like unbelievable.
Yeah, didn't he like ask the mayor of Vancouver to like do that dance?
The hip flip or
the hip flip.
Yeah, hip flip.
But every prime minister that he interviewed did it, and he couldn't get Stephen Harper. But every other prime minister did it. It's hilarious.
Oh, Stephen.
Even Trudeau.
Stephen.
Come on, man. Like,
he didn't do it?
No, I mean, he couldn't get Stephen Harper, I don't think.
That's why.
Because he's a stick in the butt.
I mean, I'm not surprised, but anyway. I mean, Arshan, with you, again, talking about interviewing, weren't we just talking about this right now with Nardwual? You know, he set the tone very early on with what his motives were and what he was okay with asking. Like you were saying, as a young interviewer, how do you think that you can establish yourself in a way that, you know, people are going to know you for doing this thing, something that's different from everyone else? Like, how do you work toward that? I mean, you have the FaceTime interviews. That's pretty different. Also, you know, your layout on Instagram is very unique. I haven't really seen anything else like that before. So how do you come up with those ideas and how do you get established in that way?
Yeah, well, the thing is, I actually used to do these one-off interviews like a long time ago. I did it with like Murda Beats, Zaytoven and stuff. They happen every, I'd say, month and a half or 2 months, right? Mm-hmm. And basically, I actually took like a 5-6 month break. This was before Kids Take Over. And I was like, yo, you know, like, I don't think I'm different. I'm just posting these videos like after such a long time. What's going to be different about me, right? So I guess in those 5 months, I really established like, yo, I need to have an art direction, right? Like, there needs to be like dope branding on this. So I thought of like, yo, I hustled my way and got all these interviews through the internet, right? So then I made the art direction like all internet themed. You open up a YouTube video of mine and you see this desktop. It opens. There's like apps. It clicks on that and stuff like that, right? So I think, yeah, just like taking a lot of time off and thinking about, yo, like, you know, who am I? Who am I as an interviewer? And how can I just really be different?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think let's move over to you, Alex, a bit. So just talking about more clothing-based things instead of just interviewing. What does clothing represent in hip-hop for you for the most part, just to start off? What are your thoughts on that? Why is it important?
I think it's just a platform that hip-hop people, like hip-hop influencers have, like rappers and stuff. Like, I'll see somebody wear clothes and I'll literally go home and make those clothes. Like, Gunna, I saw Gunna wear a pair of pants the other day and Lil Duke, and I was like, yeah, all right, and I'm wearing the pants that I modeled after them today. Like, that's just, I think that's, it's huge. Like, clothing and hip-hop have a huge relationship. Like, the Hundreds blew off of, like, Jay-Z bought a Hundreds hoodie and pants, and he wore them one time. Like, they didn't give them to him for free, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And he wore them one time, and the Hundreds blew up just literally off of that. Like, now they're, like, one of the biggest brands that's ever made it. I mean, they're huge. So I think that hip-hop definitely, because of the platform that it has and because of the fact that, like, those people care about, like, they're tastemakers. You know what I mean? Like, they're tastemakers in every way in our life, in the opinions that we have, like, in the music that we listen to. And when it's an art form like music or film or, I mean, hell, at this point, video games, like, anything that you do and you spend a lot of time doing is going to influence the way that you act. You know what I mean? And so if people are watching these people, these, like, artists wearing clothes, then they're gonna be tastemakers the same way that rock and roll artists were in the 80s or the 70s or whatever.
Do you think that right now, specifically, since hip-hop is the biggest genre in North America at this point, in the very least, and it's getting bigger all over the world, like we said, BB No Money blowing up in China, and in China, you're not even supposed to represent hip-hop in any way right now. Do you think that these figures in hip-hop blow up these brands because hip-hop is the biggest? Like, why isn't it a different genre at this point? Why is fashion so impacted by someone like Lil Uzi as opposed to a different genre?
Yeah, I think part of it definitely is like the notoriety of that person, like the fact that, like you said, it's the biggest music genre right now in America and North America. Yeah, I think a lot of it too is just the fact that like they care a lot about what they're wearing. Like that's just part of the culture of people that are in hip hop is the fact mm-hmm. that they're wearing clothes that they care about a lot. Like country people, you know, it's standard. You're wearing boots, you're wearing bootcut jeans, and you got a leather jacket on or a jean jacket or whatever. But like there's a lot more styling that goes into it. And then also artists are based off of their uniqueness. Mm-hmm. So somebody like Uzi, the reason that like his Instagram's so popping is literally just because he posts dope fit pics, and it's a lot of kits that people A, don't have the money to wear, and mm-hmm. B, don't have, like, they don't even have access to the clothes that he's wearing.
Yeah.
So it's the uniqueness factor, I think, too, that blows it up a lot because these guys have access to that stuff. And especially as people like Virgil becoming the head designer at Louis Vuitton, and you see that happening more often, like V-Lone having a collab with Forgiato's rims, mm-hmm. which is mm-hmm. crazy. Like, the impact that, because those guys already have relationships with these people in the music industry. The impact that clothing makes within the music industry and vice versa is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
With the idea of a rapper, since we're just talking about rappers right now, sort of acting as models or mannequins, as a phrase here, for a brand, how do you think that impacts their image? Do you think like that could be a bad thing sometimes too, or do you just see it as something that is beneficial for them?
No, I think it definitely could be a bad thing. Like ASAP Rocky did a collab with Under Armour on those shoes. I don't know if you've seen those shoes.
Yeah, the big chunky ones.
Yeah, so those were like the OG skate shoe from Globe. I think it's Globe. And like those shoes were like the biggest shoe in skating back in the day. And he literally, if you look at the shoe that it came from and you look at the shoe that he made with Under Armour, it's the exact same shoe. And so in that way, it's definitely bringing down like mm-hmm. his. And then on top of that, these clothing brands are like, they have this idea too. They understand the culture. They understand the fact that like artists have a lot of pull. So then you have somebody like Under Armour signing mm-hmm. Rocky. But it's like, I'm not going to wear Under Armour no matter who's wearing it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, so I think in that way, it almost makes it too commercial. Like it mm-hmm. just becomes something like it's almost laugh. Like it's a joke. You know what I mean? Like, it's just clear that this guy's getting paid, and so that's what mm-hmm. he's wearing, and mm-hmm. it loses that authenticity, I think.
Mm. Mm. Oh, yeah, that's, like, he modeled, like, for underwear for Calvin Klein, and it only, like, was in China, and the Schoolboy Q found it, and he, like, clowned ASAP for it.
Really?
Yeah. Because he was like, you're trying to hide this from the world. I see you.
I'm curious, with talking about, say, a brand versus a label, do you think that it's comparable that, you know, like take Uzi, for example, with both of those things, his label totally, you know, fucked him over.
Yeah, destroyed him.
And, but then on the flip side of that, with the branding and the fashion, it's totally benefited him. Like you look at his Instagram, I think a lot of people follow him just because of the pictures. I don't think people even listen. It's just because he's funny.
Before he started posting pictures of his fit pics, he had like two photos on Instagram, and then he would like post occasionally and delete the other post.
Yeah.
Yeah, like there was nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you think that in some sense now it's gotten to the point because of social media and big data that this branding can be, you know, as beneficial or, you know, as not detrimental to an artist compared to like, a label could be? Like, do you think that it can kind of have that puppeteer effect in some way? Do you think it gets that far? Is that deep?
Like if somebody has a bad aesthetic, then like I'll clown on them for having a bad aesthetic, even if they're like a good rapper. Like today, basically having a good aesthetic goes hand in hand with being a good rapper. Like you basically gotta have both. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like your hair has to be on point. Mm-hmm. Like all that stuff. Like your sound can only be unique. Now also like everything of like your aesthetic as a total has to be unique. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting how that has affected music because you basically can't like Tracy's image is totally unique, and for the longest time like that's basically mm-hmm. what carried him. Mm-hmm. I mean, other than being in GBC, like, the guy barely put out music, like, and now, I mean, now he puts out a lot more music and stuff since he's mm-hmm. been sober, but, yeah, like, I think that definitely carries a lot of people is their aesthetic.
Do you think that, like, someone's aesthetic is, like, should be reflective of the kind of work they put out?
Like, directly reflective, or, yeah, I think so.
Or I guess, like some kind of indication to an audience that, like, this is the kind of, like,
music they make?
Put out.
Yeah, for sure. Like, Thugger, I was talking to my girlfriend the other day, like, Thugger used to wear, like, he used to wear like 7 and 8 year old girls' dresses when he was like 17 as t-shirts.
Yeah.
Like just like weird shit. and his music is totally unique, and it's like shaped the way that music is now.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, you can definitely question the fact that he's wearing a woman's dress as a t-shirt or a girl's dress as a t-shirt, but yeah, I think the fact that he dresses weird is definitely an indication of the fact that he's a weird dude, and he makes weird but really, really good music.
Definitely makes him stand out.
Yeah, definitely makes him stand out, and his music makes him stand out, too. Like, he invented this whole, like, being off-key, basically. Mm. Like, using auto-tune to be off-key and it actually sounding really, really good.
Mm-hmm. So with, you know, this fashion and these brands, I was just thinking of this Pusha T line when you were talking about, you know, the aesthetic and everything. He said, "I'm too rare amongst all this pink hair." You know, there's a lot of rappers now, not to discredit Uzi, because I think Uzi is definitely in his own lane, even though there are a lot of rappers that followed after him. I think like, he kind of started that.
Oh, definitely.
That image that is the colored hair and the flamboyant colors with his shoes and his clothes and everything. But how do you distinguish yourself in this age when everyone wants to wear drip and everyone wants this brand and that brand? How do you stand out? How do you establish that?
I think at this point, it's come to a point where it's like a lot about the brands that you're wearing. Like, I won't wear Preem, I won't wear Palace, like any of that kind of stuff. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, or like Gucci pieces that are really big, but it's more so just about the pieces that you choose, definitely, like the uniqueness of those pieces. Because even though that brand is a big brand, like you can still get archive stuff. Like, I saw an interview with ASAP and Kerwin Frost and Connor's Revenge, and like they were all talking about how like people are talking about like, oh yeah, just blew a bag at Gucci, like so hyped on themselves and stuff. And it's like, bro, like, yeah, you blew a bag at Gucci, but you're wearing the same shirt as like 100 other dudes own. Like, literally everybody owns your shirt, but they're rocking stuff that like Kerwin Frost posts photos in like HBA from 2009 from Virgil himself. Like, Virgil? No, Virgil's Pyrex. Anyways, the guy that started HBA, he owns Archive, like HBA, like ASAP will wear a lot of Archive Raff, Archive Rick, like, and that's what it's got to be, is you wearing, like, it's more about the uniqueness than the necessary, like, the brands, and I think that that's definitely where a lot of people get, like, misinterpret what's going on and misinterpret how that they themselves should be acting. Like, that's just what the general population's takeaway from it is, like, oh yeah, I gotta buy as much designer stuff as possible. And it's like, bro, you don't have to. Like, just wear stuff that's unique, that's cool, that, like, I don't know, is different than what other people are wearing, because I'll have a lot more respect for you than if you're just wearing something because you, like, you think it's cool and you bought it, but like you have a full Gucci kit, but like thousands of other people can buy it too. Like,
right.
It doesn't choose that. It doesn't show that you're interested in fashion. It just shows that like you can buy something that's popular. It's like going to the Gap when you're 9 years old. It's the same thing.
That's the best analogy you could have used. Like, now I think anyone can understand everything you just said. The 9-year-old listening in his car with his mom just went, "What?"
You know? Should have been going to Old Navy.
I think on that, we'll play another song and we'll come back to this conversation. Again, who do we have here today? Just say your names again for the people out there.
Alex Zastri.
Or Sean Joaid from Kids Take Over.
And we'll be back. We're going to play a new Stone Cold Fingers song. This is off of his new project called Capricorn. This one is called Juno Man, and we'll be back. This is We're on the Street. I'm your host, Isaac.
A journey I had taken from above. Father said I have no relation. Mother Nature, I'm in danger. Oh, I'm in danger. I'm a savior. I'm a savior. Oh, oh, baby, of you. Oh, 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 oh. Out my heart, we are
going up, baby. So divine in the light. I just said I want what's mine. You have that on my own side. Oh, 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 oh. If I'm falling in love, baby, I go. I was on my own. Focused on the goal. Oh, everywhere I go, my soul, am I going no clothes? I want my clothes, oh, oh, my clothes, my heavenly robe. I want it all, fall from the start. Said it's nothing much. I said life was up. I was not surprised. I was on the other. I was on the other side. Huh? Hey, when you ask me, am I warm enough, baby? I go. I was on my.
Never meant to clash, but I do not pass. AMG to the off-white whip on my ass. Brand new whip, I I just might take off. Got a 40 on my hip, take your face off. I might just hop off the I ride to the Tesla. Little bitch nigga hating on me cause I'm next up.
Hello, we are back. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is We're on the Street. I'm your host, Isaac. And we're going to go over some hot takes from KTO now. Mm-hmm. So, Ashan, just read this particular one out.
Spicy take.
Well, the one that all you guys are requesting is a recent one. It was sent in to me, and this guy said, just a quote, Playboi Carti is more influential in the music industry at the moment than Kanye's prime. I'll let Alex take over.
I just got so fired up by this one, man. Is my comment here?
Unless someone...
There's a lot of comments. Yeah, there's probably a lot of comments, but I was just fired up, man. Like, it's not even comparable. Like, Playboi Carti is basically like... I mean, I listen to mumble rap all day, but... Playboi Carti is a mumble rapper, and he just leans in the mic every now and then with ad-libs like, whack. And it's like, bro, how can you compare that to Kanye West, who's like, literally, he changed the way that music is, production's done in hip-hop, changed the face of it, worked with literally the richest guy that's ever made it from hip-hop, Jay-Z, like, came up off of Jay-Z. Mm-hmm. And
Well, although I don't agree with the dude, I think what he was trying to, make specific is that Kanye's prime, so I'm going to guess, graduation to
college dropout, all that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that 4-3 year span. This Cardi last year, I guess. I still don't agree, but I can kind of see why he would say that, just because the baby voice and stuff. But I just don't think the baby voice is enough to compare it to all the shit Kanye did, the auto tune, sad auto tune rapping, and all that stuff.
He started brought the auto tune rap to center stage.
Yeah.
Well, with T-Pain. Shout out T-Pain. Yeah. Honestly? Yeah.
Yeah, shout out T-Pain. But I think Kanye really, influenced, that sad boy, auto-tune rap, So both T-Pain and Kanye, I think they influence auto-tune.
Go ahead.
But that's not Kanye's only contribution either. We're talking about one contribution he made and that comes off so naturally and easily. Like, the guy is an innovator. And you can't compare somebody that's an innovator to somebody like Playboi Carti who bought a gun and then started talking about drugs and guns. He's a suburban kid.
I feel like this guy just took two successful artists and they're they're successful, so they're the same.
Playboi Carti has stans. Out of every artist today, I think the person you stan most is Playboi Carti. I guess, I don't know. Yeah, I wouldn't compare the two, but I'd say a lot of people... Dude, dig Cardi. I'm sure you like Playboi Carti.
Yeah, I'll listen to his tracks, but I've never listened to a tape by Cardi.
Okay.
I'm being honest.
Well, I feel you kind of have to listen to a whole album to judge properly.
You should listen to Die Lit.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
You should. I think the bigger problem I have with this is every Kanye fan is going to argue what his prime is.
That's true. Yeah, that's facts.
For me,
anything before T-Lop was his prime, to be honest.
Yeah, but
say now is his prime.
Some people would say Wyoming was his prime.
Other than. I don't know, because you're doing more stuff than music now, so you could say now is a prime, I guess.
But I don't even know if you can label one specific time period as his prime, because in my opinion, he has one of the best discographies in just Ever. As a
I
musician.
Mean, I think
I don't think any of his projects are bad. They're all different, and a lot of people like them or don't like them for very different reasons. So I think with this comment, they should have at least specified what they think his prime is. I mean, probably would be a whack opinion as well. Probably going to be like, yay, this is his best album. I think, they should be a bit more specific with what that is. But like you said, I don't even know how you could compare someone who's only had two projects, like Cardi, to someone who's had, been in this game for so long. And I don't even know if Cardi would be around if it weren't for Kanye, because Kanye really... set the tone with some of those, not just autotune, but being more emotional with your rapping. Him and Cudi with 808s and Man on the Moon at that time period, coming in and saying, it's okay to both rap and sing. Yeah. Would the baby voice even exist if it weren't for that kind of motive, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah, 100%. No, I'd agree with that. Yeah, I got nothing. I had an idea.
It was bad. It was really bad hot take. Like, just what are you?
Fired me up. I read it. I read it and I just started typing a paragraph.
Yeah,
like immediately.
I saw your comment first. I'm like, I knew this was coming.
Yeah, I was fired up.
Mm-hmm.
We got about 10 minutes left, so let's take another one of these. So Arshan, you want to choose another one that you want to talk about here? You got four here.
I think
Jay-Z one, because you're just talking about Jay-Z.
Oh, I think this is pretty important. It wasn't a hot take, but it was just like one of the questions I put up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, would you rather have 100K, have someone just give you 100K? Yeah. Or would you have, I don't know if it was like an hour long, but it was just like a meeting with Jay-Z.
I think it was a meeting.
A meeting with Jay-Z. Yeah. So
I go meeting.
I said meeting.
I'd go meeting too. And like I think 80% of the people were like, "Nah, man, just give me the cash." Like, I don't. What the hell is Jay-Z gonna do, right?
What?
But
what is the?
But hey, like to be honest, if you think about it, like, you know, if you're like a really shitty artist and you got a meeting with Jay-Z, I kind of get that. Like, what is Jay-Z gonna do for you? But I think if you like have a craft that you think is like super dope, you're actually talented, dude. If you get a meeting with Jay-Z, that's like one of the best people you could possibly meet. You know, you can get so many opportunities from that. So I don't know. I feel like if you're talentless and someone gives you 100K, all right, you're still talentless. You know what I'm saying? So
you'll probably blow through the 100K anyways.
For sure, yeah.
Like, how long is that going to last? Like, if somebody just gives you 100K, you don't have to work for it, nothing. How long is it going to last you unless you, like, reinvest it or some shit?
And I mean, it's especially only a couple, if
you're,
few
like,
salary.
Yeah, especially if you're, like, 8, like, 20, 19, 18, like, you don't need 100K that quick. No. A lot of kids are, like, thinking, yo, man, I need to make this money so fast. But, dude, when you're, like, that young, you should just work on your craft. The money will come after you.
Yeah, facts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest thing.
Like, how rare is an opportunity to, like, pick apart Jay-Z's brain?
Jay-Z's brain.
Sure. Yeah, and, like, there's not even a time limit. Like, it could be, like, an hour. It could be a day. It could be a week. Mm.
Man,
a month.
Even an hour with Jay-Z is probably worth 100 grand based on his network.
For sure.
I think even if you aren't a musician, even if you're not an artist, if you're just a person, why would you pass up, you know, meeting with Jay-Z? Because he's definitely one of the only people who has made, like, quote unquote, the American dream come true, because he came from the bottom and now he's hip-hop's first official billionaire. I mean, apparently Kanye, like, Yeezy's worth like $1.5 billion, but anyway, I think Jay-Z also, there's a reason why he still is in the game, is why 444 like was at the Grammys, and why it was still a good album, why someone who's considered, you know, from the golden age can still make music that people are listening to. Because you look at some of these other guys who are older, and this is just the music side, this isn't even the business side, someone like Eminem right now, like, no one can take him seriously anymore.
Dude, you know E-40?
Yeah.
Yeah, E-40 jumped a fan for an iPhone. Talking about
what?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Why?
They're taking a selfie with him, apparently he jacked it.
Because he was upset.
No, because he wanted an iPhone.
It was after, like, Earl slapped that kid's phone down, right?
Oh, yeah, you seen that video?
No.
Oh, yes. Like, some fan, like, went up to Earl and was like, I'm, like, taking a video. And then Earl was like, I don't want you to do that. And I told you I didn't
want
that.
What would you guys
like
do in that situation? That's a real question.
Oh, I think
that's
the
also,
same as Earl.
I think it's also very relevant to the fact that Rocky just got out today.
Yeah.
And the whole harassment thing with that.
The witness, like, took back their claim that they saw them, like, Rocky, like, use a bottle to attack.
Oh, okay.
Is that what the issue was? Was that he took a bottle?
I think so. Because, like, it's like a weapon now, right?
Yeah, yeah. If you watched those kids harass him, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I would do the exact same thing.
I agree.
And, yo, he tried to tell him, like, yo, F off. Like, we don't want to do this.
Dude, that guy broke his headphones over his bodyguard's head. He was like, you broke my headphones. Why'd you do that?
You know what the crazy thing is? I actually, I did an interview, like, 2 weeks ago with ASAP Rocky's producer. His name is Hector.
Wow.
Hector Delgado, right? And, dude, the interview was so dope, but the thing is, I can't even put it out. I guess because the thing is, like, we want to roll it out properly, right? He wants to post it and stuff, but if his friend is in jail, like, that doesn't make
any
sense.
So
I was just waiting this whole time. I'm like, yo, get this guy out of here. I want to post my damn interview.
It's your lucky day, I guess.
Yeah. I guess, but I don't think he's, like, completely free. He's just, like, waiting on the verdict, right?
But Tyler posted the selfie the FaceTime screenshot. He's my boy's out.
And Trump said he's back to the States.
Yeah, even Trump was like,
okay, well.
Trump's tweet was actually, like, hilarious. It's the only Trump tweet I'm ever going to like. Like, I did. Because
he's just trying
Trump.
To be relevant, like, hip with the youth. Like, I know who ASAP Rocky is.
Yeah. I mean, I just think it's funny. I mean, I was talking to Alex about this earlier, that we exist in a time where Kanye talked to the president, who is Donald Trump, who tweeted out, "Let's get Rocky away from Sweden because he's imprisoned in Sweden."
Yeah.
Like, there's no words for that. You can't explain that. Imagine like time traveling from the past into this. Like, what do you even say?
I travel back, man.
Yeah.
I mean, Trump definitely has an agenda to why he's doing all this, but like, that's a whole different discussion.
Yeah, and he probably had Cambridge Analytica or some new company that does the same thing run a bunch of numbers to see like how much up the voting
yeah,
polls
just like
he'd
trying
go
to reach more demographic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the guy's got computer systems figured out to a T. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like data, big data and stuff.
Yeah. That's a whole nother conversation.
Oh, God. too soon.
We love data over here.
We only got a few minutes left, so let's just wrap up the show for today. This has been Word on the Street, and I just want to give you guys a second to, again, just reiterate what you do, what art do you make as a creative, and talk about what people can see from you online and plug your Instagram, whatever you want. Just so, Arshan, you go ahead first.
Yeah, so if you want to support me, I would go on the YouTube specifically. That's where the main content is. Just search up Kids Take Over. And there's like three different video series that you guys can choose from. The one-on-one interview series, FaceTime series, and then the one that I think is super different is like the behind-the-scenes series. You guys can like check out, you know, what it's really like behind running an entire media outlet at such a young age. So the YouTube is where I'd go.
Yeah, for myself, I just go to my Instagram, at simple.official. I make technical designer wear, basically, and yeah, I'll be dropping a bunch of stuff soon. I got a runway on August 5th outside of Fortune.
Really?
So, if you're going to be at Fortune.
What time?
I think like 10, 11.
3 days
is 11.
From now.
It is 11. It is 3 days
is
from now.
Monday?
PM.
Monday. I have two pairs of pants prepared, and I need to have eight full complete outfits
PM?
Ready, so I'm kind of behind. Yeah, PM.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you're going to be standing in line anyways,
nice.
Come through.
Thank you for listening to Word on the Street. We'll be back next week with some other guests. I don't know who yet. We're going to see.
Follow us on Twitter.
As per usual. Follow us on Twitter, CITR Word Street.
We miss you, Gabe.
Gabe, we miss you. Gabe is up north. Gabe has brought a new member into the studio today. Welcome, Lucy. Gabe will be back soon. And in September, we'll have a lot of the old people back. It's August now, somehow. Thank you for listening, and good night.
Bye.
26 Live.
Black Cobain, feel no pain. Just a cold rain, never had a nosebleed. Now you know things blowing up the proceeds. Watch me go beast. XYZ, South, North, West, East, take a day trip, turn to vacate, day. On a Wednesday, what's the next day, with your bitch ass, sipping Jet Sang, out the pin blast, me in first class, watching clouds pass, got the drop out, watch me hop out, I be lost now.
Stone cold, nigga, see me new phone.
Gotta go,
nigga, see me on the road. I even know a nigga see me with the coat.
Gotta go
with the bros. Stay ten toes. Stone cold, nigga, see me new phone. I just gotta go, nigga, see me on the road. I even know a nigga see me with the coat. I be with the bros.
Ten toes, gotta go.
Never can stay goodbye.
To me from the red sky.